standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. Brian's back. A lot to get to today.
It's less uncomfortable than yesterday was.
I was I was asking Ryan if he was single and if he was like in the dating field.
Why were you asking?
Which then turned into if he was into men or women on the show.
That wasn't me. That was a junkie on the text.
You're right.
I just read it.
Followed up.
Well, I'm just a medium.
I thought
for
you
the text
read
line.
Those sort of texts. 713-780-3776.
I don't do that. I was trying to decide if I wanted to blast your parking job or not. It's the first time that we've seen each other in a while.
I feel like by asking the question, you already are. But I will admit, because I noticed when I pulled in.
There you go.
I will admit you're right on this one, but I just didn't care to fix it.
Do I ever miss whenever you park poorly?
Okay. You have. Right. I have the pictures to prove it.
So there's times where you're like, yeah, that wasn't a good parking job. I wonder if Branham's going to get me today, and I don't.
Well, there are other times where I pull and like, you know what? I'm going to redo this because I don't want to hear it from Branham. But today wasn't one of those days. I was like, I'll just hear it. I don't care.
He parked funny. He looks like a slash.
Sorry, I've seen Brian. I think I saw Brian sleeping in his car one day.
Oh, it was like 2 weeks ago, yeah. Well, I wasn't asleep. I was just eyes closed. But yeah.
Joe, are you wearing a quarter zip with nothing underneath?
Yeah.
I think that's weird.
Why?
I think you're supposed to wear stuff underneath a quarter zip.
I don't think so.
713-780-3776.
Am I really?
You don't go raw dog under a quarter zip.
That's fine.
No, it's not.
Why not?
We don't want to see the chest
hair. No, you don't go raw dog under a quarter zip.
I mean, it's pretty zipped up.
No, you can't go raw dog under a quarter
zip. I think
zip.
It's fine.
No, it's not.
Why not?
it's not fine.
Very financial energy, bro.
You need you need at minimum a t-shirt on underneath.
I just grabbed a polo. I knew it was going to be cold in here at some point, so I grabbed something that was warmer today.
So you wore nothing underneath a quarter zip because it was going to be cold in here.
It's warm
That's
enough.
Your reasoning.
It keeps me warm enough.
Should you wear something underneath the quarter zip? 713-780-3776.
Absolutely should.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah. I look over my, whoa, he's raw dog in a quarter zip.
For next time.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I think I was going to hear the term raw dogging a quarter zip today.
I might not ever look at you the same way.
That's mean. That's really uncalled
What do you
for.
Have a bigger problem with, my parking or him raw dogging quarter zip?
I think the raw dogging the quarter zip.
No!
Yeah.
No, because
that's a victory for me.
Yeah.
Disagree.
Yeah.
I can fix it. I can go get a t-shirt for the t-shirt bin. Steal a shirt.
Let's move on. I'm uncomfortable. 713-780-3776. Lots to get to today, though. Hot seat rankings in the NFL. Which college football job is the best job? We'll discuss that a little bit later. Will a bit, probably. Trade stuff is starting to kind of like gain some steam in the NFL. Rumors of receivers being on the move, Jacoby Myers, Chris Olave. The Texans haven't really been rumored to be in on receivers, but Dan Graziano threw them out as a team that could kick the tires on a running back. So we'll discuss that later. Mailbag on a Wednesday. But how about the Houston Rockets, preseason champions? The lead from this game, in my opinion, though, was Amin Thompson, Jose Alvarado going toe-to-toe. There were some thoughts on the internet that Amin Thompson threw a couple of punches there. I didn't see a punch.
I didn't either.
I didn't see a punch.
The close-up videos weren't, I feel like, super crystal clear. Maybe there was a slap there.
It looked to me like he was clearing space.
Yeah.
And he definitely had an open hand.
Yes.
Like, there wasn't a closed fist. And then they were – neither one got ejected either, by the way, which I think is good in terms of, like, are we scared there's going to be a suspension? I don't think so. Like, you have – what do they call that little town? Sebacchus or whatever? The town in New Jersey where they do the replay
thing. I think it's
Secaucus.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. That's inappropriate, Brian. This place in New Jersey where they had the officials together and they're like looking at the video replay and you have the referees looking at it. The fact that he wasn't thrown out of the game, I think, eliminates any chance he's suspended.
Yeah, it also eliminates the chance he threw a punch.
I think so.
He would have been thrown out of the game if he threw a punch.
And they have better looks than anybody.
And he did the right thing.
I'm kind of on the fence here.
Really?
Yeah, like half of me loves the fact that Amin Thompson's going to let his presence be known, and there ain't anybody that's going to mess with Amin Thompson. And if you do, Amin Thompson's going to punk you, just like he did with Tyler, there goes my hero. Like, I like that about Amin Thompson. At the same time, what is Jose Alvarado's MO? What does he do? Like, what is his calling card? It's to be a pest and to get under your skin. So you took the cheese and let him win.
Yeah, but it's like a double leg takedown's happening. Like, that's like...
And he didn't get ejected, and he's probably not going to get suspended. So that's a good point.
Okay, I'm with you to the point of, like, if it was just taking the bait. But it's a full... He's got him wrapped around the legs. That's not a basketball play, so you don't have to respond in a basketball way. If he would have thrown a punch, I'd be fine with it. Like, you're going to grab me by the legs like that in a basketball game, that has nothing to do with the game of basketball.
Yeah, but if you get suspended, you're costing your team, man.
Yeah, it's a game or two. You'll be fine.
Have you seen the backup point guards for the Houston Rockets?
That's a good point. It's not good, but I think Jose Alvarado, to me, is more the cause of this. You just can't – you don't grab a player like that in the NBA. That's not how basketball works. It's never been a basketball play. So, Amen Thompson, to me – reacted in the way that he should. I'm shoving this guy off of me. I'm not dealing with this. He's a pest, yes, but I think it's out of pocket what Alvarado was doing.
Yeah, like I'm kind of on both sides here. I know it's not a great place to be, but I love the fact that Amen Thompson's like, okay, man, like you're my like I'm not playing this game. I'm Amen Thompson. I'm going to be a specimen. I'm a freak athlete. I'm way bigger than you. I'm going to establish my alphaness in the NBA. And he did it last year with Tyler Hero. So, like, it's kind of like who he is. And I appreciate that because I like Junkyard Dogs. And Amen Thompson is that. But when you have a guy that's known to try to get under your skin, you're taking the bait. Now, I think that they are going to avoid suspension because he wasn't ejected. So, like, cool. No problem. Great. And I am excited about what Amen Thompson is going to look like this season. Like, he's looking really good in this preseason. Not that we want to overrate the preseason. Rockets, they treated yesterday like a dress rehearsal, Joe, which I don't think I'm going to watch. They play tomorrow or Friday in Atlanta. I think it's tomorrow. I'm not going to watch that game, I don't think.
Because it probably will be mostly backups.
Like, you know what? I think I'll probably watch it Friday as I do my prep, but I'm not going to really spend like a mindful eye on it. Because they said like Durant's going to sit, Şengün's going to sit. Like, that's the game that you're, okay, let's get to Tuesday healthy. Last night was the dress rehearsal, and they went with the jumbo starting five. So we've seen the jumbo starting five yesterday with Amen, Kevin Durant, Jabari, Şengün, Steven Adams, and then we saw the other not-so-jumbo starting five with Reed Shepard instead of Steven Adams. So going into the year, what do you want it to be? Do you want it to be that first starting five we saw, or do you want it to be that jumbo starting lineup we saw yesterday?
Yeah, the way Reed's playing, my first thought was, let's make this matchup dependent, right? But the way Reed's playing, I don't think that matters. Go jumbo.
Oh, so you're saying that Reed hasn't been playing well?
Yeah, I don't think Reed's been playing well enough to warrant like I think this jumbo lineup with Clint Capella coming off the bench, you can roll with this jumbo lineup throughout an entire game. You don't have to go away from it at any point in time. You can sub in Tari. He can replace Şengün. You can do a bunch of different things, mix and match with this. Like is Reed Shepard more beneficial 6 days from now against SGA? No, he's definitely not. So I'd rather just go with the bigger lineup, you know?
Yeah. See,
what is he, guarding Lou Dort? Like,
that's probably, yeah.
Like, I mean, maybe he comes. Like, he can come in for Alex Caruso, I guess.
They're going to miss. They're not going to be completely healthy, Oklahoma City as well.
No.
So, like, you know, maybe you can get away with whatever. Like, he's not going to be on SGA. That's an Amen assignment there. I think that we overrate who the starting five are. I care more about like which five are getting the most minutes. I care about which five are finishing games. Mm-hmm. I think I actually like Reed Shepard with that first unit, though, at least to start games. He didn't need to finish them, and it's going to depend on matchup and game flow and foul trouble and form and all that stuff. But I think Reed Shepard's better suited with that starting five initially because I think he fits better. Like, I'd rather him be a third, fourth piece in that unit than be coming off the bench, like providing your, electricity, like being the microwave off the bench. I don't think that suits him. I like him more as like a side piece than I do as a main piece. He's an appetizer, not a main course.
Yeah, the double big lineup is so effective. It was really good last year, and last night they outscored the Pelicans.
It was jumbo yesterday. They're playing Jabari at the three.
Yeah, they outscored the Pelicans by 12 points with that starting lineup. They rebounded 70.4% of the misses. That were happening. Brad O tweeted that out. That lineup can just... Huh?
Who's that dude?
Brad O?
Brad O?
Yeah, he goes on with John Lance sometimes.
My bad.
Occasionally. He's a Rockets guy. But...
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Bradeaux.
Yep, Brad O.
I thought you meant Brad letter O. Oh, actually, no. I commented on that guy's tweet yesterday. I was thrown for a loop. I didn't recognize the pronunciation in the name.
Yeah, no, he does a great job covering the Rockets. But I think that, you know, this lineup was so effective last year. I want to see it start games because I think you can control a game early with the double big, and then if it's not working, I'd rather than pivot away from it than pivot to it, okay. If that makes sense.
All right.
So yeah. I like the double big or the jumbo lineup.
Okay.
Amen Thompson, the smallest guy on the court last night.
The length there is incredible.
6'7". He's the smallest guy.
I do think you have to commit to going zone there, though, whenever you go with the jumbo, because like I don't like Jabari guarding the three. So you have to go with a zone defense, which, you know, that's fine. Like, if you're committed to it, then just go to it. And then your back line, you got Steven Adams in the middle, you got Alpi in one corner, and then you have Jabari in the other corner. And then you have 6'10 Kevin Durant, 6'7 Amen Thompson's length up top. That's a pretty ferocious zone defense. Like, zone defense don't really scare people, right? Like, yeah, it can be good at, like, limiting shots, and, you know, you take bad shots or outside shots. That's as intimidating a 2-3 zone, I think, that maybe has ever existed.
Yeah, it's just going to be so funny. It's like, see, if the Rockets are predominantly running a 2-3 zone, they'll be the only team in the NBA doing that. Because, like, other teams drop it sporadically.
Yeah.
Like, if the Rockets are going to run it heavily with that group of players, it's going to be very interesting. Because NBA players are not good at attacking zones.
No, it's not something you see.
Yeah, they just don't see it very often.
Yeah, you don't see it a whole lot.
So I'm with this big group of players. I think it makes a lot of sense. And if, you know, for some reason you're struggling to get the ball up the court, like maybe that's where you pivot to bringing Shepherd into the game.
Now, see, I don't think he's a point guard, though. I think that Reed Shepherd is the fourth best Rocket point guard. I like him at the two. I think he's fine at the two. I think he's that's a more natural position for him. I don't like Reed Shepherd orchestrating the offense. I don't think he's got great handle. I think that he has a weakness against pressure. I don't think he's a great facilitator. I think he's at his best whenever he's a number two catch and shoot guy or you're running him off screens. I actually don't like the ball in his hands.
Yeah, I think more for if they're going to double a man like in the backcourt, someone's got to get the ball to get it across half court.
Alpi Shingun. You're my point forward.
Kevin Durant.
It's not a great situation to be in.
You have options.
The Fred injury, that's where it hurts you. Because if I'm an opponent of the Houston Rockets, you know what I'm doing? I am getting my best defender and ball pressuring, the guy bringing it up every single time up the court. Whether I'm picking up three-quarter court, whether I'm picking him up half court, I am pressuring the ball handler at every avenue. And I think the Rockets are going to see a heavy dose of that this year.
Especially, I mean, the first game of the season, we're going to see a lot of it. SGA, I mean, they pressured people last year. Like we're going to see SGA probably pressing. I'm guessing he's the one guarding Amen Thompson. If you go with the double big lineup, I would imagine that's the assignment that
you would think.
I don't know. I mean, what is he going to guard, Jabari?
Which, I mean, if you have SGA pressuring the ball, that's actually good because that's going to try to, I mean, that's going to hopefully limit him offensively.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's exerting some energy, pressuring the ball, even if he's picking it up at half court. Like, hopefully that takes away some of his offensive efficiency, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. Zion looks good, by the way. Zion Williamson. He looks healthy. He looks fit.
For the first time.
As the Europeans say.
First time ever.
He's a fit lad.
Like, this is like the best he's probably looked since Duke.
Whenever he blew out his shoe?
Yeah.
What a freak.
Like, this is the best physically he's looked.
He looks like he's in great shape.
Yeah. Him and Luka come back to her this year.
They're on Ozempic.
Yep.
Both of them.
Anthony Davis is not. He's on the barbecue diet. If you've
don't blame him. Ain't mad at him.
I don't blame him either. It's a great diet to be on. But, yeah, Zion looks good.
Yeah, he looks like he could be a problem this year. But I wonder, too, if he's injury-prone and it doesn't matter what shape he's in. Like this will be a good litmus test on his injury-proneness because he's never going to be in better shape than he is right now, ever. I firmly believe he could be equal, but he'll never be in better shape than he currently is right now today. If he still pulls his hamstring and misses 30 games this season, just go ahead and chalk him up as injury-prone for the remainder of his career.
Yeah, because you could say it was the weight before. Yeah. There was excuses behind it, the effort, all of it that was going into it. But to your point, if he gets hurt this year, honestly, the fact that he's in shape, if he plays like 30 games in a row, the Pelicans might just want to trade him now. That might be his peak value again in the NBA. Just move on from him while he's in shape. And then another team can look at Luka and be like, well, look what Luka did as soon as he got traded.
The Skyline lineup.
He got healthy.
What do you like? What do you think of that nickname? Skyline lineup for the jumbo.
It's not bad.
Because they're all like towers.
Yeah, it's not bad.
They're all scraping the sky.
I'm fine with that one.
It's not bad.
I don't know what the alternative would be. So that's why I think Skyline works.
I just like the jumbo. Did you catch the – I was listening closely. I thought Hollins had a pretty good game from his hyperbole standpoint. Okay. Hyperbolic Hollins, we like to call him on the Jeremy and Joe show. There was only one that I caught, but it's a doozy. Here was a hyperbolic Hollins yesterday, the only one that I caught.
Clint Capella's a starting center on any other team outside of probably Denver.
That's hot. A hot take. He's literally the third string center on the Houston Rockets, Ryan. Literally the third string center on the Houston Rockets.
He's probably not a starting center on half
the... His, no.
On
maybe
20, all, of, the, 20 he, of the 30?
He got beat out by the dude in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Like, how many teams would Clint Capella start on in the NBA? Five, maybe? He said everyone but Denver. He said everyone but Denver. He's third string in Houston and got beat out in Atlanta.
Like, he's probably starting, like, Washington, Charlotte.
Yeah, the garbage team.
Miami,
maybe.
Outside of Denver.
That's crazy. This might be
hyperbolic Hollins.
This might be number one.
It's hot
of the hyperbolic Rollins we've heard so far.
Has he just not watched Clint Capella since he left the Rockets?
No, he's just hyperbolic.
Maybe so.
He's a hyperbolic Hollins. He lives in the hot take world.
I mean, have you
in 2017, it would still have been a hot take, but it had been a decent take, I think, in 2017.
Yeah,
but
back then.
Yeah, yeah. 8 years ago.
He, like, of all the centers currently in the NBA, where is he rank? Just, you know, big board centers this year only. Like 30, maybe?
Probably.
Top 30?
Because there are multiple teams that have two guys better than Clint Capella.
He's basically saying Clint Capella is the second best center in the NBA.
Yeah. Well, no, he's saying he's the third best center in the NBA. He's saying Steven Adams is the second best center.
No, he's not. He said Clint Capella is the starting center on every team outside of Denver.
But he's not starting. Which that doesn't even make sense because he's not starting here.
Bingo. But he didn't say that.
But like Ryan Hollins, if you go back and watch, if you ever like run across his old first take clips, this is not surprising.
He's a hot take Hollins.
He used to throw out some doozies on
hyperbolic
first take.
And I thought he was on his best behavior yesterday. I'm sitting there three quarters in. I'm like, man, I got nothing. I got nothing on hyperbolic Hollins today. And then early fourth quarter, Clint Capella makes a solid play, and he hits you with a Clint Capella is a starting center on every team outside of Denver.
Are you watching
Clint
the game?
Clint Capella's a starting center on any other
Come
team
on,
outside of probably
Hollins.
Denver.
Are you watching the game more than you're listening to Hollins at this point?
What?
Like, are you listening? I feel like you're listening to Hollins. Like,
don't you
like,
listen to the broadcasters as you watch a game? Like,
see, normally I tune them out.
No. I basketball, you have to watch closely.
Yeah.
Because there's so much. I mean, there's not any stopping point, you know? Like, there's it's all action. It's 98% action. Like, baseball, you can get away with, like, looking up, you know, just at the, you know, whenever a pitcher's delivering a pitch.
Yeah.
And then you can, you know, mess around with other stuff in between pitches. But in basketball, you look down for a minute and a half, you've missed 3.5 possessions.
At this point, I'm disappointed that we're not going to see Ryan Hollins on opening night.
Oh, okay.
Like,
yeah, I know.
Like, what would he say about, like, if the Rockets are dominating the Thunder?
This is the best team in the NBA.
Yeah,
like, Which wouldn't be as hyperbolic as Clint Capella's the starting center on every team outside of Denver. We're going to have to start power ranking hyperbolic Hollins. That's the leader in the clubhouse.
I'll make a Google Doc right now.
Yeah, do it. That's number one. Leader in the clubhouse, Clint Capella, starting center on every team outside of Denver. That's number one. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Just get it started. We'll get to our mailbag a little bit later. Texans going to kick the tires on who? Coming up, NFL trade deadline. We'll get to a mailbag a little bit later on as well. 713-780-3776. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on TikTok at ESPN 975. Joe's at George Radio there. I'm at Jeremy J. Branham. We're on Twitter at ESPN 975. You can watch us there, too. Joe's at Joe George Radio. Brian's at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. So, John Hollinger, that's how you say his name, right? He has the Rockets eighth! Eighth in the Western Conference! Eighth! Come on.
No. You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
Is there any chance? Is there any possibility the Rockets are the eighth best team in the West? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, listen right now. Monument Chevrolet's the dealer you can trust. They're transparent. Not going to hassle you with pricing. You're going to get your car shopping done fast. We love Monument Chevrolet because they're unlike all of the other car dealership experiences you've dealt with in your whole life. That's why they've been serving the Houston area for 50 years. That's why they're a pillar of the community. They've helped generations of families get into new pre-owned vehicles, and then they keep coming back because they trust the people at Monument Chevrolet. It's like Monument Chevrolet is part of the family. It's a family feel there, friendly atmosphere. They hire great people, which leads to an an outstanding culture. They also extended Truck Month for you, Monument Chevrolet did. Did you know right now you can get 2.9% APR for 72 months? What a deal. That is fantastic. Or how about the EV vehicles? Those are our vehicles of the week at Monument Chevrolet. They're offering amazing discounts on Chevy EVs. The EV Blazer with its speed and sporty style, and the EV Equinox with its spacious interior, clean, modern design, long-range capability, which I've always loved about an EV vehicle. But they also come with a loaded tech-focused interior. It's awesome. So get a fair deal, a transparent deal, a no-hassle deal without wasting your time in these aggravating, stressful negotiations. No tricks, no time wasting, no hidden charges. You've been waiting to upgrade your ride. Do it now. Visit them online, monumentchevrolet.com, monumentchevrolet.com, or swing by. Say hello in person. They'd love to see you. 225 and Beltway 8 at Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2. You're back with Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5
inside of the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
I like this song, Ryan. It's a good pick. Jeremy and Joe, 713-780-3776. And he said probably Denver, LOL. It's a good point. He didn't just say Denver, he said probably Denver. Like he's in the mix, like it's a conversation.
I mean, maybe he means Jokic is going to play the four. Capella's the five, Jokic the four.
Okay. Yeah, let's go with that. That makes a whole lot of sense. another junkie, being a Celtics fan in Beaumont, nothing ticks me off more than hearing about how good of a coach Ime is. Like, I know, shut up. He's triggered by Ime being a good coach.
He got a good coach.
Yeah, they do.
I like Missoula.
I like Missoula, too. He's quirky. He's very quirky.
He's a little different, yeah.
He's very quirky.
I'm curious how it'll go for them this year if he's as quirky if they're not winning this year without Tatum.
I think that could go sour fast. Like quirkiness, quirkiness is fine and it plays while you're doing good. But the moment you start doing bad, they turn on quirkiness quick,
especially in Boston.
Yes,
especially in Boston.
Yes. Now it doesn't really matter what you say when you're bad; they're going to hate on you no matter what.
Yeah.
But I feel like it goes to another level if you have that element of quirk.
I mean, they hate you when you're good in Boston.
Yeah. Brandon, I thought you liked violence in sports. I do. I like violence in sports, but I also like intelligence in sports, and you can't let a guy who's a known pest get under your skin because you let him win the moment that you do that. Now, if you like, hey, okay, you don't love that he's hugging your leg as you go up for a rebound. Okay, cool. Hard screen him, baby. Like, get him back whenever you can get ejected. And he didn't get ejected, so he was able to, you know, walk to the line, not cross it. So I give him credit there. Junkie calling you Laramie Raw Dog Tunsil.
I'm getting crushed.
Mr. No Protection. Raw Dogging a quarter sip is dastardly. That's a good word. Some Yankee by Joe. Can't Raw Dog the quarter zip, says Zach. You can't Raw Dog a quarter zip, Joe, says another junkie. Be right back. Logging into YouTube to see Joe's ha-ha. Yeah, ESPN YouTube.
You
ESPN
can say Houston YouTube.
I didn't know that I could.
I think you can.
I was a little worried.
You can say it.
I was a little uncomfortable. Yes, unless you're from Jersey or residing in Jersey, then it's okay.
Yeah,
you're from Jersey.
That's a very Jersey thing.
Clearly not. Like.
See, it's a Jersey thing, but you gotta unzip it as far as it goes, and you have to wear a big chain.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, he didn't commit fully to the Jersey bit.
No,
like
he's
stuck in the awkward in between.
Halloween is coming up, so you never know.
You gonna go full Jersey Shore on Halloween?
Why not?
Raw dogging his Q-zip is wild. Are you washing that thing after every wear?
Yes. It goes in the washing machine.
I wash a quarter zip after every wear, and I never raw dog it.
I wash everything after one wear.
Even your jeans?
Except for jeans.
Okay, what about every pair of shorts?
I guess pants, no.
Okay, I usually do.
Like basketball shorts that you wear around the
house?
Well,
I meant khakis. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know, like shorts you wear with like a polo. Like he's wearing shorts right now.
Yeah, no, I was thinking shirts I wash after every wear.
Yeah. I wash everything after every wear with the exception of jeans. Jeans, I'll go a couple of. And it depends on what I'm doing. Like if I'm, you know, a little swampy down there, then it's going to get a wash.
If it's summertime in Houston.
Yeah, if it's like winter and you go out for like, you know, lunch and you come back and it's still perfectly clean.
Then I'm not fine.
Well, yeah. Going with the Jimbo look with that quarter zip without the cash. Never go full raw dog, says another junkie. And then someone coming at me saying, you can raw dog a quarter zip if you're not soft, Jeremy. So they call me soft.
At least I got one texter on my side.
You did get one.
I got one.
99-1.
Is that your father? 99-1.
Is that your father?
No, no.
It's not your father?
No, he still has the Houston, Chicago area code.
Mike McDaniel's quirkiness has definitely turned on him. That's a good point. Like, he's getting crushed, like called a skateboarder, coke addict.
I mean, it's like one of the first things they said about him after this weekend was, you can't be that coach and be wearing the capri pants that he was wearing. It's a bad look. Like,
you start to get nitpicked and criticized whenever things go poorly, no matter what. And they're going, like, I mean, D'Amico Ryan they were calling D'Amico Ryan's too smiley after an 0-3 start.
Yeah.
Like, he's a nice guy. He's smiling a lot. And they were saying that was a negative. Like, it does not matter what you say, what you do, whenever the fan base is ready to talk bad about you or you know, put you down. Joe looks like he's from the Chicago area. Is that on purpose or by chance? Well, he is from Chicago.
I am, yeah.
I'm not reading that. 1443.
Don't read that one.
Yeah, I'm not reading that one. All right, so Hollinger, he has this. Is this a computer model? Like, Hollinger's more of a computer metric guy. Is he going off of computer metrics, or is he going off of his opinion here?
The Hollinger one is his model.
Okay. But this is a model, then.
Yeah.
So this isn't, like, a personal opinion. This is eliminating personal bias and going strictly computer model.
No, actually, I don't think that's right. I think this is personal opinion.
See, the article was pretty vague. I couldn't pick up which side it was going on. I was hoping that you did.
Because the ESPN one is clearly computer model. This one reads to me as personal opinion.
Okay. So he has the Houston Rockets 8th in the Western Conference. How likely is that? Because there is a possibility that exists that they're the 8th best team in the Western Conference. Now, I think it would require injury. I think the guys would have to get hurt. Probably Kevin Durant misses half the season, something like that. But it is in play. It's in play that they could be 8th. Now, it would cause injury, things like that. So what are the percentages in your mind that the Houston Rockets finish 8th in the Western Conference?
I think it's maybe 15% chance.
And what's the path?
Injury to Kevin Durant, Tari Eason also, I think, really puts you there. And the loss of Fred VanVleet is
Tari? That's interesting.
Well, because it's just that if you lose Durant and Tari,
okay,
then you're just like, you're getting depleted more and more and more.
Yeah.
So, and those are the two guys with the injury bug that you would be most concerned about is Tari and KD. And then really it's Reed Sheppard having to be put into the starting lineup between him and Holiday as like your real true point guards on this roster. Is a disaster.
Yeah, like he doesn't develop at all. He basically is who he is last year, has to play the heavy minutes. I'm like at 10-15% myself. I think Kevin Durant would have to miss at least 30 games.
Yeah.
Like Kevin Durant would have to miss at least 30 games, and maybe you have an injury or two elsewhere, and you have a lack of development a place or two elsewhere as well.
Now the West, like outside of the Thunder last year, only 4 games separated the Houston Rockets and the Memphis Grizzlies from being the 2 seed and the 8 seed.
No, the West is deep.
So that's the other the other argument for this. Now, where I think the question is do the Spurs or the Mavericks take a big leap this year to surpass the Grizzlies, who traded, Desmond Bain away to the Magic this year? Like, what does that look like? What do the Lakers look like in year two with LeBron James missing the first chunk of the season here? A couple weeks only. So I think you'd have to see the West continue to elevate itself. But I have a lot of questions about these teams in the Western Conference. So there's an argument for it, but I think it's a low percentage.
Yeah, 10-15% is where I'm at. And the depth of the Western Conference is legit. Like, it is. Like, people see this and they want to mock it and scoff at it, which I understand. Like, we have very low odds that they finish in 8th. But there are some valid points here. Like, Kevin Durant is older. The Rockets lost their point guard for the entire season, and I am worried about their ball handling. Like, Amen Thompson went behind the back yesterday, and I saw everybody on Twitter like, oh my goodness, people were saying Amen Thompson can't handle the ball. You're overrating a highlight. Like, can you take care of the ball for 42 minutes and turn it over twice? I care way more about that than, oh, he went behind the back. We overrate highlights in sports. I don't care that he can go behind the back. I want him to turn it over less than 3 times over 40 minutes as the point guard. I'm not sure he's able to do that. And then after him, they got nobody. Reed Shepard's not a point guard. Aaron Holiday, they were treating yesterday as a dress rehearsal. Aaron Holiday only played in garbage time.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a true point guard. You hope Amen Thompson can handle the position. Kevin Durant, older. Who knows about injury, that sort of thing. Now, again, I only think it's about a 10% chance they finish 8th. But the teams ahead of them, like these aren't jabronis. Like these aren't scrub. Like Spurs, Wimby should have a breakout year. That's a better roster than it was a year ago. The Lakers, like I'd be surprised if the Lakers finish ahead of the Rockets, but they got Luka.
Yeah, I mean Luka is my pick for MVP this year, wow. So that's why it wouldn't shock me. He just looks so good. He looks in such shape. The narrative, I think all of it around, I think Luka's going to win the MVP this year.
Take it easy there, Joe.
What?
He's got a girlfriend. The Lakers, the Lakers up there. Minnesota, I mean, they got Anthony Edwards. I think Anthony Edwards is one of the best players in the NBA. Denver 4. Like, that's a championship pedigree with maybe the best player in the NBA. Golden State 3. Now, they're older, but they've tried to get a little bit younger there, too. They beat you last year in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. The Clippers 2, and then, of course, Oklahoma City 1. Like, those teams that Hollinger has ahead of the Rockets, it's plausible. It's in play.
Yeah, I'm just surprised because my first thought when I read the article is I need to go look at the number. The number in Vegas right now is 53.5.
Yeah.
And this website that I'm using right now, you can play with it. You can move the number down. The lowest it will let you go is 51.5.
Really?
So you can't even go into the 40s. So like that's a huge drop from where Vegas has them looking. Right now the Rockets are tied for second in the Western Conference.
Is that huge,
with
though?
The highest over-under.
It's 4 games.
I guess it's not huge.
It just feels... You know what happens here?
It feels like a
here?
Big gap.
If, you know what? It's because you're crossing the milestone of 50. Like, if you go from 42 to 48, it feels greater than 4, even though it's 4.
Yeah.
Because you're crossing a pretty big milestone in the NBA. Like, 50-win season, unbelievable. 48, 52, okay. You surpassed it by 2.
Well, Hollinger has about 45 and 37.
Oh, I thought it was 48. My bad.
I think 48's the other one. 45 and 37, like that feels like a disappointing season.
Oh, no doubt that'd be disappointing.
If you're 45, if the Rockets have to play in the play-in game this year.
See, I wanted to bet the Rockets under this year because I think it's a team built for the postseason, not the regular season, but I wasn't comfortable with the 52. Like, I thought I could get it at 54, 55, and it didn't get that high. Like, Vegas was on it already. Like, Vegas was thinking aligned with me. But that few? 45?
Well, and this is where
that'd be a bad year.
And my biggest argument against the Hollinger article is who he has third with 51 wins. I am buying it. I'm not buying it with the Warriors. I'm not.
Okay.
They're getting old. Draymond's not looking good. Jimmy Butler feels like at some point it's going to be a problem. I'm not buying it. I am not buying that the Warriors are going to win 51 games this year.
Yeah, see, that's another team that I think is built for postseason basketball. Like, that's a team you don't want to see in the playoffs as a lower seed. Remember last year. Like, I agree with you. That feels like a big number for them to win regular. Because Curry's going to miss games. Butler's going to miss games. Mm-hmm. They don't really have any player that scares you as, like, the main dude behind those guys. They have good pieces.
Yeah, like, Buddy Hield is fine.
Yeah. But how do you say the other guy's name? Pods? How do you say it? I forget how to say his name.
I don't remember.
But he kind of terrorized you last year in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But if he's your number one, that's a problem. Now, if he's your number three, number four, okay, that's dangerous. But they're not. I agree with you. I think that's too many wins for Golden State in the regular season. Team you don't want to see in the playoffs if healthy, but not getting that many regular season wins. Junkie on the text line, I'd rather the Rockets start as underdogs at the beginning of the season. I actually like it, too. I'm actually a fan of it, too. I like where your mind's at there, Junkie. Rockets are a top three team, and they're not 3 or 2. Okay, I think you're going a little too far there, because there's no way I'm putting the Rockets ahead of OKC.
I can't say no way.
All right, they're playing fully healthy 7-game series. Who you pick in life on the line?
I'm taking the Thunder.
There you go. Then how could you say they're not 3 or 2?
Because in the regular season, we do see teams come off championships where they start a little slower. Like we don't, like, it's not always you're the one seed, you win the championship, the next year you're the one seed. That doesn't happen all the time. So I think there is a case to be made that, you know, they're going to be a little fat and happy from last year, and the Thunder don't play as well in the regular season as they will eventually in the postseason.
The ESPN did a computer simulation, which we love those. They had the Rockets winning fewer games than what Hollinger said, 44 and 38, but they had them as the 6th best team in the West. So kind of interesting. Like, they won fewer games in the computer model, but a higher seed than where Hollinger had them. They had Golden State winning 63 games, by the way. Are we wrong on Golden State? Or Hollinger and the computer's wrong on Golden State?
That computer model is crazy.
63 wins.
It's got the Lakers winning 36 games this year?
No, I don't like the Lakers. I'm not a big fan of the Lakers. All right, 713-780-3776. Mailbag. This is your chance to ask Jeremy and Joe whatever you want to ask. Sports-related, non-sports-related, what Joe wears under his quarter zips most days. 713-780-3776. Mailbag. with Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. HRMP already dinged me. They said, stop talking about raw dog and quarter zips. But HRMP is awesome. They're a great ally to have on your side for moments like this or for other moments. Maybe you're tired of doing your payroll. Maybe you're tired of doing your onboarding. You're tired of doing your HR compliance. You're tired of doing your benefits administration. You know who can help you? HRMP can, human resources and payroll, Cougar owned by my colleague, go Cougs. He used to protect a Heisman Trophy winner. Now he's protecting your business. Chris Fisher over there, great people at HRMP. You're going to love the people at HRMP. You're going to love the customer service at HRMP, and you're going to love what HRMP does for you and your business. Doesn't matter how small a job, how big a job, HRMP completely customizes a plan for what you and your business need. You have a problem, you have an issue, you want to take a little bit off your plate, a lot off your plate. HRMP is going to sit down with you and figure out the most optimal way to help out your business. They do it in a way that's awesome, too. Technology meets service. They have the best technology in the game, top shelf technology. But that service that I was talking about is sensational. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll never talk to a stranger. You'll talk to someone who knows you, knows your business needs. They're always staying up to date, current trends in the business world. You're going to want them as an ally. Give them a call, 281-880-6525. Let HRMP help you. 281-880-6525 or check them out online. HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5.
Mail call.
Mailbag with Jeremy and Joe.
You've got mail.
Mailbag with Jeremy and Joe. What's your question for Joe and I? 713-780-3776. Is Correa the better option at third opposed to Isak Paredes?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And I like Paredes at third base. But Correa, what he was doing with like the limited experience he has there was incredible. I can't wait to see what it looks like next year, the full offseason.
I think he's going to be pretty similar. I don't think that there's a whole lot of room for him to get better. I think that he is kind of that guy.
Yeah, I mean, because he was really good.
Yeah, and so, what is the fear that you have of a shortstop moving to third is like the know-how to play the position, mm-hmm. but he's such a high S2 player. Like, he knows what to do.
Yeah, he showed it last year right away.
He didn't have any growing pains there. Now, easily Correa's better option at third than Paredes, but let me rephrase the question. Is it better to have Correa at third, Isak at second, or Isak at third, Correa at second?
It's better to have Isak at third and Correa at second.
Yeah, I agree with that. They won't do it.
No.
They won't do it, but I do agree with that. I think they're committed to Correa being their franchise third baseman for the next few years.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do with Isak. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be a very interesting offseason. They got a lot of, they got a lot of questions that can hinge the rest of the offseason. Like, one domino takes you down one path. You do the other domino, you go down a completely different path. Mm-hmm. And, we're waiting for that one domino to fall to see, what options open up.
Because it really just starts with Walker and Paredes at first base.
Yeah.
And then where does it go from there?
Yeah.
Because if Walker's your first baseman, then does Paredes automatically become your second baseman? Or is he no longer on the team?
Or is he your DH and you're committing to moving Altuve back to second, which is not great. And then, hey, Yordan, you're going to play left field every day, which is also not great.
Yeah.
So, I don't like that. They're it's such a weird offseason. They have a positional surplus. They have a top of the rotation deficit. It's going to be fun.
I don't know if this is a bad take, but I think I'd rather see Isak at first or not on the team.
Yeah, I don't hate that.
Because it's I'd rather use him as an asset to go somewhere else to maybe find a true second baseman.
Yeah, and also don't
put Altuve in left.
Yeah.
So, if you're not going to play him at first and you're going to stick with Walker, he's also a more valuable asset in Major League Baseball.
Yep.
So, I think it makes more sense to put him at first or trade him.
Yeah, I think I don't hate that take. And also, I just want to trade Walker.
Yeah, for sure. It'd be awesome
if you could clear 15 of his $20 million off the books. Yeah. And then you can just repurpose that into a back of the rotation starter, or you combine it with the money you do have as you try to sign Ranger Suarez, for instance. It's going to be a fun offseason. Do you have faith in Dana Brown to guide the Astros in a critical offseason?
Not really.
Yeah, I don't really either. What's your go-to hype song before a big show or call? Says Zach.
I don't really have one.
Future, mess up some commas.
Is that what you listen to before every UH game?
Every now and then. Okay. If I'm wanting to get fired up, revved up. Nah, I don't really do that much.
Yeah, I don't really do that either.
I don't really do that. I'm more of a meditator.
Yeah.
Before a big moment. And I might meditate differently than some.
I'm a nervous meditator.
What does that mean?
I would only meditate when I was nervous.
Oh, okay.
So like when I was younger, when I was like in theater,
yeah.
Before every show, I'd have to meditate.
Okay.
Yep. So I'd get nervous.
Yeah, I get nervous doing public speaking. Not so much anymore.
That's crazy.
Like emceeing events and stuff. I hate that.
Yeah, because especially the more scripted it is, the worse it is.
Yeah, I try not to script any of it. It's kind of how here's this run a play and let's just take it, see where it goes. Hope I don't get in trouble. Pete, what do you think Bregman's next move will be?
I don't know. Detroit?
I think he's going to go to the biggest long-term contract, and it doesn't matter who it is. That's my guess.
Yeah,
who's most likely to do that?
Because part of me does think the Cubs might go after him again.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
But like Matt Shaw, he might win the Gold Glove this year as a rookie at third base.
Do they have positional needs elsewhere?
Not really.
Yeah, so Bregman's probably off then.
So like I could see them going with, because Shaw's bat wasn't great, so.
See, the Tigers are interesting. When is Baez run out? When does his contract run out?
Pretty soon.
But then they also have a Skubal decision to make. So like if they really want to be a contender for Skubal, then I don't really see them making a huge long-term offer for Bregman.
Yeah, they have to make a Skubal. They have to pay Skubal.
Maybe he'll go to Colorado.
Join James Click.
Yeah, James Click gets the job, gives Bregman big money.
I mean, I would probably not recommend it.
Hey, what if it's Arizona?
Arizona would make a lot of sense.
What if it's Arizona?
Replace Suarez.
I think he's going to go to the biggest long-term contract.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Yeah, I don't think that he has to, like, win, per se. I know that he'd like to, but I don't think he has to. Do you think the AL West teams having success drives Jim Crane?
I hope so. I hope it does. I hope it pisses him off.
Yeah. I think just missing the playoffs is a bigger motivational drive than the Mariners. But I guess coupled together, it could really drive them.
Because what did they do after the Rangers won the World Series with just Josh Hader?
Yeah, right? That was after the whole
Kendall Graveman injury.
Graveman thing. Almost called him Peacock.
But, yeah, I mean, what about Toronto for Bregman?
Oh, that's interesting.
Bo Bichette leaves in free agency.
No, they do have that Addison Barger guy, whatever his name is. Yeah. He's pretty good.
But I wonder if there's a pass to Bregman playing at third there or second there. And
Bichette's leaving.
And Bichette, yeah, with Bichette
he's in
gone.
The final year of his contract. He's not even playing right now. He's hurt. Yeah, I don't know. I think he's just going to go. I think he's going to chase the big money. If y'all could lock up one player on the Rockets, one on the Astros, and two on the Texans for their entire career, who are you choosing?
Amen Thompson.
Good call.
Hunter Brown.
Good call.
Will Anderson.
Good call.
Nico Collins.
Not CJ?
Nico Collins.
I'm going CJ there.
Yeah, you were nailing it until you got to Nico.
You only missed one. The Hunter Brown or Jeremy Peña?
Hunter Brown.
Oh, Hunter Brown. Easy.
I mean, you guys are acting like starting pitchers don't ruin their UCLs routinely.
I think he's closer to the Verlander-Cole model that I feel pretty good about Hunter's UCL until he's older.
Based on what?
Gut.
Mother's intuition.
Gut feeling.
I don't think I disagree,
he hasn't,
though.
He hasn't
I don't
shown
think I
anything.
Like I would like one dude just penciled in, I guess it'd be permanent markered in, as the anchor of my rotation forever. Like, yeah. I think that would be a nice luxury to have. I don't disagree. I'm okay. I'm good with that. I'm good with Hunter. No Yordan?
No.
You're scared he's going to be hurt too much.
He doesn't play.
Alpi over MN?
I'm a man over Alpi.
Yeah, I am too.
And I like Alpi, but I think there's still limitations.
Same. It's a tight race.
Yeah.
Like, this is always whenever you're talking about the greats. Like, oh, you have to, you know.
But you're locking up a player for their career. You're expecting them to be potentially the best player at their position. That's why you're making this decision. A man can be that. Hunter Brown can be that. Yeah. Will Anderson can be that.
I'm with you on all of them except for I would take Stroud over Nico. I'd rather have the quarterback over the receiver.
That's fair.
And I think Nico's better relative to his position than Stroud is relative to his position. Case in your point, but I'd rather have the quarterback. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRNP listener line. Peña, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's your question?
Hey, what's up, guys? My question today is, what's y'all's favorite beer snack, like peanuts, chips, whatever? Thank you. Have a great day.
That's a great question. You know what I like? I like a little trail mix.
Really?
Yeah, I love a little trail mix in my cold beer. You give me like a little different bars have different mixes. They, back in the old days, maybe it's more country club. They put out the little bowls of trail mix at the bar.
Yeah, I see. I'm thinking like where I would be the most happy would be with a bottle of Corona in my hand.
Yeah,
with some chips and salsa.
Oh, that's not a good. That's a good call.
That's a pretty good call. Yeah,
I think that's my. Call. I think it's my number one.
Chips with anything. Chips and, or like tortilla chips with salsa.
Yeah.
Wok, queso.
Yeah,
man, you might have sold me. You might have sold me.
The trail mix would be. I've never seen it before, I guess. So I never even thought of it.
Some places put goldfish out there.
Yeah, yeah, the classic bar thing that I always remember was peanuts.
They do that.
Yeah.
I don't remember seeing trail
mix. That might be more country club. Now that I think about it.
There's a local bar in my hometown that does popcorn. Unlimited popcorn.
Great call.
It's great.
That's
great
pretty good.
They pop it right there in front of you. Like, it's right there as you walk into the restaurant.
Salty. Makes you quench more.
Yeah.
Or
that's a
crave
good one
more.
But I'd say
try to quench the thirst.
Peanuts is up there, though.
Well, I'd rather go cashews than peanuts, but...
What a weird take.
I don't want...
What?
Cashews over peanuts?
Cashews are superior to peanuts.
I don't disagree, but is your beer drinking?
I said... No, I'm saying directly compared to the peanuts, I would rather have cashews.
See, I don't love the nuts with a cold beer because it's kind of filling.
Yeah, and
I sound very pretentious here.
They gotta be de-shelled.
Oh, yeah,
peanuts?
I don't want to be doing no work while I'm drinking.
Yeah, like what? Yeah, I don't want a Texas Roadhouse situation where they're all shelled.
And he means like wings are off the board here, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah, about that's not a
little savory, salty snack. Yeah, that's a good call, Joe.
Thanks.
That might be the best take you've ever had.
You know what? I'm okay with that.
That might be the best take you've ever had.
That's a good take, so I like that one.
Who was the better wrestler, Edge or Batista, on the mic in in-ring matches?
Edge.
Yeah, Edge.
It's not even close.
Not close.
By a country mile.
It's the rated PG-13 superstar. 713-780-3776.
Come on, you got the line wrong.
I know what the line is.
I know. It just bothers me that you said it wrong.
It's obviously a slight.
Yeah.
It's a jab is what it is. Oh, somebody said pork skins. I do like pork skins.
I've never seen it at a bar.
I do like pork skins. I've never seen it at a bar either. I like crackling too, but I've never seen that at a bar. Wheat straw, favorite liquor.
Tequila.
Higgins Boat Rum is the very best.
Blue Star Tequila.
Whiskey from Old Humble Distilling Company, which will be out there Friday. So come out and see us.
I am looking forward to that. It's going to be a great time.
I was drinking some whiskey last night.
1368.
Was it the Boomtown Bourbon? Because if not, it was a mistake.
I don't remember, actually.
1368 says peanuts. Branham has dropped the country club flex twice now.
He did kind of do that.
But it wasn't because I'm a member. It's because I worked there as a kid.
Okay.
You didn't say that, though.
Yeah, I didn't. You're right.
Yeah, the way you presented that was...
You're right. But
you're hanging out with John Donato in country club.
Given your history with Sedona and Caprese and all that stuff, I just assumed you were...
I had a Caprese salad on the way to work today. My wife made me a little Caprese salad.
While driving?
Come on, brother. That's easy. I eat buffalo wings when I'm driving. I've eaten soup as I drive.
I know.
Caprese salad's a piece of cake.
You know the
walk in the park.
Time out. Eat soup? What do you mean? Like,
I have.
With like the spoon or you're like drinking it?
Usually I drink it to about halfway and then I'll start eating it with the spoon.
Okay. Like, is it like chicken noodle?
No, it's usually the shrimp and fish soup down at my little Mexican place I like to go to.
Okay.
No, I'll usually drink the broth because they come like in the little plastic container. Like
tall,
like, you know, you get your wonton soup.
Glad we do not have the same route to get to work.
What do you mean?
You're eating soup.
I haven't been in a wreck as I eat.
I
drive better as I'm eating.
It feels like a ticking time bomb.
I drive better when I'm eating because it's less reckless.
I'm like waiting for like a, hey man, not going to make it to work today.
There was a wreck right on the corner over here.
I got a third degree burn on my lap from the soup I dropped.
I think Jeremy looks at any type of food as a challenge to see if he can. I remember when I first got the tacos from downstairs from Black Market Berea, and I mentioned getting some on the way home. I was like, man, but I don't want to stay and like eat them in size. Like, well, I'd just eat them on the road.
I would. Tacos are easy to eat on the road.
Those?
Yes.
No, no one's
tacos on
big.
The way.
The Berea tacos.
It's a handheld.
They drip.
Yeah, put a little bib there. Maybe a little, you know, you got a little rag in the middle console that you use to clean up some messes.
Great question here from the text line. Do you eat bowls of cereal when you drive?
I don't eat bowls of cereal.
Okay.
I don't eat Same. Cereal. I haven't had cereal in... Yeah. You know what? I take that back. I don't eat cereal. But every now and then I'll have a bowl of Cocoa Pebbles.
Yeah, I was off cereal until we had Joseph, and then now that there's cereal in the house. There's just a lot of things that like you stop eating that now they're back in my life. Goldfish.
Love fruits, goldfish.
Fruit snacks.
I don't eat the fruit snacks.
I do.
Just when I thought I was out.
I'm not a big cereal guy, though. Even when I'm not a big cereal guy.
I wasn't really.
Not a big cereal guy. What do you guys think of Bregman and Tucker both being free agents? I think it's neat.
Tucker's going to be...
What to do with
what
that.
It take?
I think it's neat.
Yeah, Tucker's going to be a Ray or a Philly, I think.
Who goes farther in the playoffs, Indiana or the Colts? It's a great question.
Indiana.
Let's repackage this to closest to its championship.
Well, they're both four rounds, so...
Okay, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, both playoffs are four rounds.
But Indy could get a bye, so it could be... Well, so could Indiana.
So could Indiana, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, Indiana has a better chance to get a bye, because there's four byes.
Yeah.
I'll go the Hoosiers. I think they win a playoff game.
I think I lean that way, too. That Oregon win really changed my opinion of them.
What's your question here? Jeremy's counting with his fingers.
I know. I don't like where this is going.
I don't know what he's
especially
counting.
Especially since he's not saying anything while doing it. This is radio, Jeremy.
This is a tough one. I think it's going to be a tie. I really do.
I don't see the Colts winning two playoff games.
That's... I don't see Indiana winning two playoff games.
Well, I think they can get a bye and then win one. And then that puts them in the final four and pass I think the Colts get.
If you were handicapping this, I think you would have Hoosiers minus 150.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe minus 160.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Because the Colts, but they'd be the one seed
right now. This will be an interesting one to track. I'm going to put this down on my notes. Track Indianapolis stuff. Don't ask Mark Sanchez to do that, though.
Go Colts!
FIFA forces stadiums to have all grass. Why doesn't the NFL?
Great question.
Because you know the easy answer.
It's because the NFL teams are selfish.
Yep.
And they care more about hosting concerts than they do their players' health.
It's financially driven.
Yeah.
Now, you know what the NFLPA should do in their next CBA? Demand it.
Mm-hmm.
They should demand it.
It'd be the first time that they would demand something that makes sense.
I forgot the A in Indiana. Do you want to see Simone Biles?
Tracking. Never mind.
Do you want to see Simone Biles compete in the LA Olympics in 2028?
Sure, that's cool.
She'll be in her 30s.
Will she have the twisties then?
Hopefully not. I mean, she didn't have them in 2024. Which,
tell me off air what you kept yourself from saying.
Do you know, she'll be in her 30s.
That'd be cool.
I want to see it for the entertainment part of it. Like, she's the greatest.
Can Michael Phelps come back too?
Sure. Like, I like drama. I like theater. I like storylines. Simone Biles competing in the Olympics for U.S. gymnastics will be a far better storyline than anything they will produce. Anything they'll produce.
Mm-hmm.
So me being in the storytelling business, give me all of that. She'll be in her 30s. Do you know? Here's some trivia for you. If you can get this, we'll give you a t-shirt. Who is the oldest gymnast to participate in the Olympics?
Simone Biles.
No.
Carrie Strunk.
No. Strunk?
Strunk? I don't know.
Strug.
Whatever her name is.
She's a G. There's G's at the end of it. Now, not even close.
That's all I got. That's the only name I know.
This chick, she was 46 years old.
46?
And she's actually...
still describe her as that chick when she's 46?
I mean, she's performing in gymnastics. Her name was Oskana Chusovitina. I think it's still her name.
Yeah, I guess I was thinking of
her. I do not know this,
man. She's a woman. She's going to try to participate in the 28 Olympics.
At what?
At gymnastics.
No, how old will she be then?
Well, she's 46. She competed... I think she's going to be 50. Now, the oldest gymnast to win a medal... women's gymnastics happened in 1956. She was 35 years old. Agnes Coletti.
I do not know this man.
Maybe. She might have been. But yeah, I want to see Simone Biles perform in the Olympics. Let's see
it. Cool.
All right, 713-780-3776. Texans, trade deadline coming up somewhat soon. You're starting to see trade rumors out there. You're starting to see the Texans attached to certain positions.
Go Texans.
What position do you want for the Texans? And what are realistic names at those positions you'd want for the Texans? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. I was just telling you about Higgins Boat Rum. It's my favorite. It's fantastic. You need to try it. And once you try it, you're going to be in. You're going to be all in. Higgins Boat Rum is rum anchored in time. It's known as the Texas Bourbon Drinker's Rum. Probably why I like it so much. It's bold, it's smooth, it's steeped in history, and of course it honors the greatest generations. Perfect to sip neat, perfect to have on the rocks, perfect on a big rock, my favorite. It's perfect Higgins Boat Rum for crafting your Texas-inspired cocktails too. Try your old-fashioned with it. Try your Manhattan with the classics, maybe a piña colada, maybe a Cuba Libre. It's perfect with them all. And also, Higgins Boat Run pays tribute to our military heritage. It's named after the iconic landing craft that turned the tide in World War II. Now get this. Higgins Boat Run donates 10% of profits from every bottle to Camp Hope. Supports our veterans. You're honoring heroes with every pour. Higgins Boat Rum uses that Percedo craft technology that you've all grown to love, makes it smoother, enhances the natural flavors and aromas, eliminates the harsh elements. Follow Higgins Boat Rums on all socials to get tasty cocktail ideas, behind-the-scenes stories, and live updates, too, on all what's going on at Higgins Boat Rum. Premium top-shelf rum at a great price. Get your bottle now, HigginsBoatRum.com. Shipping to 48 states across the country, HigginsBoatRum.com. Sip, savor, salute.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store.